Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John Strelecki Audio Experience. In this episode, we welcome a very special guest, my buddy Chris Bloom. We had a great time talking about what it's like being on tour with fans. Is it worth searching for meaning in life, and how to move past hardship and unsupportive beliefs? Enjoy.
John, good to see you again.
Chris, good to see you too. This time in your home place here in Berlin.
Yes, in Berlin. Last time it was on Zoom.
Right, exactly. This is better. We get to hang out, have some laughs. Yeah.
Yes, true. So you are traveling a lot the last days because of your new book, Überraschung am Rande der Welt. So how do you feel today?
Doing great. The tour is, this was our fourth stop, and the fans have been absolutely amazing. One of the big reasons we wanted to do the tour was because we missed seeing everyone and the chance to interact with everyone, and so it has been spectacular. Yeah, last night we had a young lady who was 14 who came up to the signing table with all of the cafe books. She said she loves all of the books and is a fan. And it's just so exciting to think that someone as young as 14 is already on the path to finding what they want to do with their life. So that's super cool.
Nice, awesome. That's always like also like grateful, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the entire experience of writing the books is such a humbling one. Another person came up yesterday and they were so emotional. They started crying at the minute they got to the signing table. And I came out from the signing table. I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, I can't tell you all the details, but I have been in such a tough place in my life, and these books are what got me through it.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So
everyone's got a story. You know, I mean, that's the interesting thing about life. We look at somebody walking down the street or sitting in the booth next to us at a restaurant, and it seems like they've got it all together, but you never know what they're struggling with inside. And same for us, of course. And so to be able to be a part of what helps them get through that, that's awesome.
Nice. You are writing about the purpose of life, obviously. And everyone is actually talking out there about it. In your perspective, what is for you the purpose of life?
I mean, I can tell you mine, and then I can give you a perspective on maybe what I think the human experience is about. For me, it's about creating museum day moments for myself and for others. And that's a concept from the Big Five for Life book, this idea that if we were to have our entire life recorded, and then at the end of our life, a museum is built to honor our life, but exactly how we lived it, then all of the things we do and say and experience would be part of that museum for all of eternity, and we would be the tour guide for all of eternity. So I like this idea of thinking to myself, what can I do to create a special moment for my team, for my family, for fans, so that if they were to relive that moment a lot of times, they'd be like, yeah, that's super cool. Yeah. And as far as the bigger question, and I want to hear your answer to this, I mean, I think that my personal belief is that we are something before we're born. And then we get to enter this human experience, and we get our days, we get our opportunity to live life. And hopefully we learn in the process. Hopefully we share what we learn in the process. We help others in the process. And then I think we go back to being whatever we were before. So what happens after that? I don't know. Maybe we do this 3 or 4 times, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, actually quite the same. And I think it's within us, right? The purpose of life, when we like calm down with everything in us, and it's getting calmer and calmer within us, and not like all the noise outside of the world, then I think we can get closer and closer to the to the purpose of life, which we really are. So what are we behind our all feelings, and what are we behind our thoughts, right?
Yeah, what is that core essence of us? True. Yeah, I mean, so in your journey, was there a defining moment when you had that awareness? Because I went through most of my young life and I had no clue, you know?
Yeah, true. me the same. So okay. It took me 28 years, I think, for you the same.
Yeah, yeah, that 28 is a big year. Yes. And 35 also.
Yes. So why is this important? Maybe you can...
I don't know. I've thought about that a lot because you really do see that as a defining year.
You know what? You can divide both by seven. And seven is actually a big 7 days, you know, in a week.
Yeah, it's they like say
a
that.
Big number.
That number has like really interesting, profound impacts. And so I don't know. I think maybe at 28, you're far enough into your life and into your career where you've worked for a while and you've sort of got the toys and you're starting to ask yourself, is this really all there is? You know? And so maybe that's it.
Yeah, true.
And maybe you see people having kids and you're like, wait, is that my path? You know? And you see people that are older than you in their careers, you're like, is that my path?
True. Your new book, Überraschung, im Café am Rande der Welt. Tell us, what is it about and how does it relate to the other ones that you have?
So the Cafe series, this is the fourth book in the series. And in this book, we get to know Hannah. Now, we met Hannah a little bit in book three. Hannah's 15 years old. She comes from a very challenging home life, very unsupportive parents. And so she's on her own. And she's really someone who has lost hope. And unfortunately, she's on the verge of maybe losing hope that her life can be something different than it is. But that, of course, is why she and the cafe have found each other at this moment, because that's what the cafe is all about. It's about helping people who are on the verge of losing hope. So it's a beautiful story. It was a real thrill to write it. It's always surprising to me what happens in the writing process. So, for example, the ending is something very, very special that I did not see coming at all. And I won't spoil it because I want you to experience it, I want the readers to experience it. But I love when that happens, when it even surprises me.
Wow, nice, amazing. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
I just read like, I think the first 80 pages. Okay. And so we don't spoil it, so. John, was there a moment in your life when you had doubts or have lost the purpose of life, maybe in your life? Have been there doubts in your life?
100%. You know, I was very clueless about what I wanted to do with my life. I didn't have a high degree of self-confidence when I was growing up. I didn't have a sense of... I didn't think that my contributions would be anything, honestly. I didn't really understand life. I didn't understand the way it worked. It seemed like you go to school for a really long time, and I didn't really like school. And then it seems like you get out of school and then you do a job that you don't like for a really long time. And that just didn't make any sense to me. So I couldn't really find my place in the world. And that was kind of dark. And then I thought I figured out what I wanted to do. And I spent all of the money I ever saved in my entire life on that dream, which was to become a pilot. And then it turned out I had a medical condition that took all of that away from me, literally in one day. Yeah. But I'm able to look back now and see that all of that was what actually got me on the path that I'm on now. So had it not been for those moments, I wouldn't be having this great conversation with you. I wouldn't have written the book. And I wouldn't have written any of the books. So the big learning for me is sometimes in those moments when we're like, wow, like, why is this happening to me? If we can step back far enough and have a little bit of faith, we can see a new path that maybe is actually the better path. So, and yourself, I mean... Has it been smooth sailing for you? Have there been moments of challenge?
Oh, a lot of challenges, John. It was like a lot of downfalls and a lot of challenges in my life. Dark times. But I think when we can see like the sense out of it, then if it all makes sense out of it in the end, at the end, then we can like grasp something out of it. And then it brings us to another better place. Like that's what... I really love actually about those pitfalls and those downsides.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a go-to method for that when you're in the middle of something that is not as good as you want it to be or, you know, it's different than you expected it to be?
I think sometimes we should allow ourselves more to calm down and take a back one step back and to have a look on the broader view out of it and have a better scope out of it maybe, and then we can see better again, and then we can, out of this, we can do something, another action, put another action out of it.
I like that. So kind of going back to the heart, going back to the, this is who I really am. Yeah, I love that.
True. So many people ask themselves, and when I was in doubts, I was asking myself also, why I should look for the or search for the meaning of life. What do you think, or why do you think we should look or search for the meaning of life in your life? Is it important or is it not important?
You know, again, ever since I was a kid, I've been asking myself that question, like, what is the point of this all? You know, like, if this whole thing is kind of a game, then how do you play? What are the rules? I mean, if you think about it, if we were to sit down and someone was like, hey, Chris, John, let's play this game. It's a new board game. Like, one of the first things we'd be asking is, okay, so how do you play? How do you win? What's the whole point of the game? And bizarrely enough, we enter the human experience. We know it doesn't last forever. We're very aware of that. So the game has a finite ending. But there's no rule book. There's no instruction guide. And so I think it's really important to ask ourselves that question. And I'm not saying the answer is the same for everyone. So your answer to what is the point of your life could be very different from my answer. And I think in many cases that is the case. But allowing us to ask the question is what gets us started on the adventure and gives us sort of that north on the compass so that, as you said, in those dark moments, we can step back into our heart, into our core purpose, and we can realign and get back on track. So for me, I've realized I am an adventurer at heart. And when I am too many days without an adventure, I feel that dark space that you're talking about. And I realize, okay, it's time to go grab my kayak and go hit a river and go see some wildlife and go do something that I don't usually do. So I find that depression is one of those things that settles upon you. The more disconnected you are from your purpose, the more that dark stuff sort of settles on your shoulders. The more you know that this is who I am and this is what I want to do, and you fill your time with that, the more bright the world seems. So that's why I think it's worth knowing.
True. Yeah, it is. So every choice is a short story in two acts, yeah. Right? So act one, the decision.
Yeah.
And act two, live the reality associated with the decision. How can we learn to make the right decision? So for all the people out there who are struggling with decisions, what can you give them as advice? If they're now struggling with the decision, how can they make a right decision for them now?
Yeah, so this is a concept that Hannah discovers in her conversations with Casey and Emma.
In the book?
Short story in two acts. And when it hit me, when it came to me, it was really profound in the writing process. Because most of my life I didn't realize, wait a minute, it's about choosing, and I'm actually the one who gets to choose. Like, I don't know why I didn't realize that earlier in my life, but that's really what life comes down to. You know, if I'm not who I want to be, if I'm not where I want to be geographically, if I'm not holding the belief systems that support me, that with a single choice and action to support that choice, my whole life can change in a moment.
Sure.
And so, in terms of how to make choices that are actually our choices, I think the key thing is being authentic. So the clearer you are about your personal big five for life and about your purpose on the planet, the easier it is to look at a decision and say, it's a no, or 100% yes. And I think if we can allow ourselves to close off those outside influences and go deep inside, like you were talking about, it actually is kind of like a muscle. The more we build that muscle through practice, the easier it is to just say, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, do you find that to be the case? I know that you've been doing your podcast now for 5 years.
Almost, yeah.
Okay, and so obviously you're doing something that you love. Have you found it's easier to say no thank you to the stuff that is not a fit?
Yes, of course. I mean, you have always those alternatives, right?
And yeah, like 1,000 a day or 1,000 a second.
I actually read a study, if you have more alternatives, it's even harder for you to decide for one. Instead, we have two alternatives. So
yeah.
So the lesser alternatives we have, the better actually for us.
Yeah. So I think maybe there's some genius in what you just said, which is a good further answer to that question. So if you lock in on your big five for life, and you say these are where I want to spend the moments of my life, then if it's outside of that influence, maybe say, all right, I'll allocate 10% of my time to the rest of that stuff, but I'm really going to dedicate it towards my big five for life. Because those are the things that we each individually decide are the most important to us. It's not like you told me, oh, John, you have to do this, or I told you, Chris, you know, you got to do this. This is you deciding for yourself.
True, yeah, true. Many people maybe, or some people maybe out there struggle now with a dark moment. Maybe they are now in a dark place, in a dark moment in life. Do you have any advice for someone who is now in a dark space, in a dark moment in their life, how they can like get the first steps to get maybe out of this void?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been there, so I know exactly what that dark moment feels like, and I know it's not a fun place. And the challenge with the dark moment is that you start to lose perspective. The reality that you see that is closing in on you starts to feel like the only reality. The amazing thing, though, is that a few seconds where you get to touch the life that you most want to live reminds you of all that is out there. And so, again, if you have that awareness of what brings you joy, then in those dark moments, allow yourself to just spend 5 minutes in that space. And it could be that a particular song that you love takes you to another place every time you listen to it. It could be that you want to do something stupid and silly, and so you shut all the blinds and you just dance around the house like a complete nutcase. Maybe you go for a bike ride in the woods. I mean, everybody's got their own thing. But in those dark moments, we forget that those other things are out there. So that's one thing. The other thing I would say is there's a really beautiful line that Max shares with Hannah. And he says, always remember, kid, somebody's always got it tougher than you do. And to realize that in the midst of my challenges, that there's always somebody out there who's dealing with something worse, and find a way to help that person. Because when we open up our field of vision and then we lend a helping hand to that person, it just changes our own mindset. Yeah, that's been really valuable for me to in my moments of dark.
Are your books born out of a good moment or out of a bad moment? What do you would say? Because also creativity starts at a dark moment, right?
Or yeah.
So bad moment.
Yeah, there's that great quote. You know, dissatisfaction is the first step to enlightenment, and it's awesome sometimes to let ourselves sit in the dissatisfaction for a little while and say, okay, this is my life now. But what would be the other side of that? And same with boredom. It's okay to be bored for a little bit, because when you're bored, you're like, all right, what could I do that would be fun, that would make me not bored? And so I think it's okay to allow ourselves to sit in that dissatisfaction a little bit and say, what would take me out of here? What would be a great adventure beyond that? And that's a good thing.
Nice. Sometimes we are holding onto so many things or people, right, and can't let go of, or get, yeah, we can't let go actually of people or things or thoughts. Or do you have an advice for my community maybe to let go? Let go is also like one of my favorite stories or my favorite things. Do you have any advice? How do you let go in your life, maybe from places or from?
It's actually the second question that Hannah encounters, which is so cool. Where will you be from? So we often think about where am I going, but rarely do we ask ourselves the question, where will you be from? Because when you ask that question, where will you be from emotionally? Well, that means I need to leave something behind. Where will you be from geographically? You know, well, in order for me to go to a place that I feel more myself, I have to leave something else. And that does, it takes a great deal of courage. So I find for myself to let go of like an unsupportive belief system, I do two things. One is a single data point changes the way we think about something. So for a long time, I had a very unsupportive money belief, for example. I was raised in an environment where the general theory was, if you have a lot of money, you must have ripped somebody off. Like, you could still be nice, but at some point you did something that was pretty unethical, and that's how you got your money. And so I went through my whole life, and as I would get more and more successful, of course, people want to say thank you. And the way they say thank you is by buying your product or buying your music if you're a musician. And so you're, by default, the better you do, the more value you add, the better your podcasts, right? Then people are going to say thank you, and you're going to become more successful. And I would get successful to a point, and then I would like leave the industry or blow it up on my own. And my friends were always like, what is wrong with you? Like, you're just on the cusp of something so special and you destroy it. Why? And it was because I was hanging on to this unsupportive belief. And one day I realized what it was. And so I was like, wait a minute, how do I redo that? And I came up with two examples. So two data points of people who are adding a lot of value in the world, doing good things, who were very successful financially. And then I could no longer hold these two competing thoughts in my head. I had to let it go. So finding an example of someone who disproves this unsupportive belief you have is an awesome way to just, you know what, thank you very much. I'm gonna let that one go now. So yeah, that's a great trick for me. The other one is I use a mantra. So yeah, I have five things that I want my life to be, and I, in my moments of downtime, will repeat them in my mind. So if I figure if my mind's gonna be off running around on its own, I might as well give it something to run around with, which is supportive. So I don't know, what's your go-to? What do?
To let go?
Yeah, like if your mind is filling you with thoughts that are, you know, it's not your thought, or just in general, what do to let go?
Yeah, what helps me personally is a lot of meditation, actually. Okay. And also like, but exercise, it's all for me like yin and yang, you know, like black and white and activity or calm down, you know. So I ask myself, okay, what I need? Do I need today activity, or do I need to step down and maybe do a walk in the nature, you know? So there's like always like the two sides. So I check with my body actually,
yeah,
and check with myself in, and then I decide what I do for the day and how can I nurture myself a bit more, yeah.
That's great. So it's, it goes back to that heart thing we were talking about. You're checking back in. I love that phrase, checking in with your body. So what's your... what does that mean for you? How do you check in with your body?
So it's actually meditation that I do. So I'm checking in, coming down, and check like all chest. How does it feel? Is like, is there pressure, or is like someone pulling me or something? You know, then the stomach, and then I go all those body parts and.
So one by one, you're working your way down.
Yes, like four or five big body parts, and then I check in with those with my body, and then I get some maybe emotions that I get stuck. You know, like maybe I dreamed something of something weird or something.
Right. Yeah. So. Right. I'm carrying the stress from my fight with a zombie last night. Yes. 6 a.m. Yeah.
Zombie and me. Yeah. Should you rather search, or should you let life come to you? What do you think, John? So should you rather search,
yeah,
or should it rather come to you?
I think it's a balancing act. There is inspiration, desperation, or no plan at all in terms of the way in which we approach life. And I think there's a time for letting it come to you, and I think there's a time for a plan. So knowing your big five for life to me is, okay, this is what matters most to me in life. That's the planning part. Then an aspect of that might be travel. And so you say, I'm going to go to a city I've never been before, that I've always wanted to go, and I'm gonna go with no plan. And so I get there and I wander the streets until I find a super cool place to eat in. And then I just start wandering the city until I find a cool art museum, or I just kind of go with my instincts at that point. And I think sometimes that's the best way to play. So a balance of checking in with my body, to use your example, following my instincts and letting life come to me. And at the same time, I'm allowing myself to set some parameters that I know that this is something that I'm excited about.
Nice, nice. So do you have any other advice, or what do you want to share with my community, John?
The thing that I would say, so in this new book, the character is 15, and you and I were talking before we started recording about, wow, how awesome it would be at 15 to be already thinking about the bigger questions of life. Who am I? What do I want to do with my life? Why am I here? I wish at 15 I'd have been mentally capable of even understanding something like that, let alone asking myself those questions. And so I would say everybody has genius within them. And so if you're watching this show and you've ever experienced a moment of doubt about your place in the universe, realize that you can never be in somebody else's brain, not even for a second. And so it's hard to sometimes realize, like, hey, I'm really good at this. Like, I've got a gift for this. But you do. Everybody has genius. And so I love the method you just shared about checking in. And so check in with yourself on a regular basis and check in with people who love you. Like, it could be really great friends who are supportive. If you've got family who's really supportive, that can be good too. Avoid the people who are non-supportive. But just let them share with you, like, hey, you know what? Like, when you're doing this, whatever this is, art, otherwise, like, you glow, like, you shine. That is, like, you at your best. And embrace that. And ask yourself, in what way could that be my life? Because somebody is living your dream life. Somebody is doing your dream job. And it might as well be you.
True. You're always, like, one step away from what's next for you in life, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes we have these blinders on. We can't see where we shine, but a really person who loves us and cares about us, like, they're gonna give us that good feedback.
True.
So embrace your genius, live an amazing life, and Chris and I will be here to assist in any way. Send us a question if you got one.
Cool, awesome, John. One last question.
Yeah.
So it's like about Hannah and Emma, and. What do you think in the perspective of relationships also? How can be a relationship supportive? You just mentioned it. We also like can avoid, we should avoid relationships that's not supportive.
Yeah.
Have you some tips for figuring out or some tips for get rid of some not so good energy friendships, yeah. Relationships?
Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting thing because when we're children, we typically build friendships based on proximity. You know, it's like, oh, this person is sitting in the desk next to me at school. I talk to them all the time. We become friends. But ideally, as you have more choice in life, your friendships are based on shared experiences. And those shared experiences ideally are based on what you love and the things you're passionate about. One of the hardest things to do is to let go of a relationship. Whether it's friend or family or a partner of some sort. But this goes to that second question, where will you be from? And I like to play the fast forward game in this regard, which is if I stay in this relationship, if I stay in this friendship 10 years from now, will I look back and be like, wow, look at all the amazing moments we spent together? Or more likely, will I look back and be like, ugh, another of the same conversations, I walk away from that, I feel horrible about myself, I feel horrible about the day. And in those cases, it's great to allow yourself to just say, thank you for being a part of my life, but I really need to move on now.
Yeah. In your last show, you mentioned that we shouldn't get stuck with relationships that are 5 of 10 or average relationships. I mean, you deserve a 9 or 10 of 10 relationship.
Yes.
I deserve it.
Yeah.
So why we move on an average relationship or like 2 out of 10 relationship, right?
Yeah, exactly. I love that concept. And thank you for reminding me of that because that's a great mental model for ourselves. If you think of people that you hang out with, that it's just effortless, right? Like every time you're with them, you laugh, you smile, you have fun. Like that's a 10 out of 10. Whether it's a friendship or a partnership or something else, family member. And so, listen, there's like billions of people on this planet and you've only got about 28,900 days. Why not allow yourself to make that the kind of places that you're, or kind of that the kind of relationships that you're spending your time on? It's okay. Those other people, they're going to find a better fit somewhere else. Let them go.
Since you told me about it, I always like tell my coaching clients like in a heartset journey about this. And
awesome. Awesome.
So you bring more wisdom into the world also and more better experience for people out there.
That's awesome. Well, I think that's what it's all about, you know? I think each of us is, again, adding our genius. And I learn from you, you learn from me, and we both live a better life because of that. Like, that's a pretty cool approach to the planet. Thanks for listening, everyone. This episode has been brought to you by the fantastically awesome JS Audio Team. Produced by the talented and so darn fascinating Larry Hutter. All right, everybody. Remember, life is short. Statistically, 28,900 days. So get out there, make this one a museum day.